Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.com.
But this morning, I want to speak to you for a few moments on the topic of doing what is right. Doing what is right when you have the opportunity to do so. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you seen something or heard something you wish you had not seen or heard? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a situation where someone you loved was doing something that you knew was absolutely wrong, but you didn't know how to deal with it? Or, truth is, maybe you didn't want to deal with it. Somebody raise your hand, right? And my question is, what do we do when we are put in situations where we know what is right, we see things that are not right, yet how do we proceed, right? Because I'm going to know that these type of things happen often, right? What do you do when you're put in a situation or you hear something that you know is wrong? Most people would probably tell you, say it with me, mind your own business, amen? And we're living in a day and age where I like to think or say that people have the mindset, speak no evil, hear no evil, and see no evil. People have a mindset that says, I don't want any part of any type of drama within my life. Somebody wave at me. Keep me out of it. I don't want to know. I didn't hear, and I definitely don't want to be a part of the solution. Are you hearing me? And this is the type of concept I want to talk to you about today, because I believe we're living in a day and age where we are so, I think that we're desensitized, right? We see so much evil in life. You have a lot of people walking around that are desensitized towards sin. Are you hearing me? And you know, when you look at the scripture we opened up with, it's a very, very interesting scripture because it teaches us a very direct message. The message speaks of a person's responsibility to look after his neighbor, right? The theme that is found in this scripture is actually on moral ethics, which is simply the concept of doing what is right when you have the opportunity to do so. If we were to do a study on the book of Deuteronomy, we would find that a large portion of the book of Deuteronomy has to do with God giving his people moral instruction about how to live life, right? You have to remember that the people that Moses or the gospel was, or the Bible was addressing, they were people that were held in slavery for years, and they're pulled out of slavery, and they are now learning to walk in freedom. And I don't know if you've ever been in some bondage or captive to something that maybe you didn't have control over, but when you come from any type of bondage, sometimes it's hard to exercise your freedom. Amen. Too much freedom is not good. Too little freedom is also not good. So here you have these people, they have been in bondage for years, and they're now wandering, and they're following a leader named Moses, and Moses is now gathering these people together. He's teaching them a way of life, and he's writing this book, and the book is giving the people moral instruction for how they should live their life. Now, when you look at the Old Testament law, it not only spoke against evil wrongdoing, but the Old Testament taught against, listen to this, a passive indifference to do what is right when you're given the opportunity. We'll jump into what that means in a minute, but I want to read to you the scripture again in the New Living Translation. If you see your neighbor's ox or sheep wandering away, don't pretend not to see it. Take it back to its owner. See, what the scripture is addressing is the attitude and mindset to do what is right. In other words, what the scripture is telling us, it's telling us this. If you see your neighbor's ox or sheep wandering away, don't turn your blind eye. Don't act like you didn't see it. In other words, get involved somehow and be a part of a solution. Now you have to remember, these people were coming out of slavery, and they're now interacting with a leader that is guiding them to a new walk and a new way of life. During this time, what you have to understand is everyone in the community bore the responsibility to uphold justice, to do what is right. Everyone in the community bore the responsibility to do what was right. And what this did within the people, it developed a community where everyone looked after each other. Are you hearing me? See, this scripture gives us an example of a lost animal wandering astray to teach us a greater principle in life. The Bible tells us that if we see an ox or a sheep wandering, this it encourages us to take the lost animal back. Now, after reading this several times, I got to thinking, if the Bible puts so much emphasis and so much weight on bringing back a wandering animal back to its owner, I got to thinking, how much more emphasis or weight should you and I put on a wandering life that is veering away from the truth? Are you hearing me? I believe that this is an important topic of discussion for the church of today, because the world teaches us to be passive and to turn the blind eye. The world teaches us to have an attitude that says, you stay in your circle, you stay in your corner, and I'll stay in mine. The world teaches us, you do you, and I will do me. And in doing so, we turn the blind eye towards certain acts and behaviors, and we develop a passive indifference. Now, a passive indifference is an attitude that lacks urgency, has been desensitized, and will often choose to sit back and do nothing because they want nothing to do with the drama. Are you hearing me? I'm going somewhere with this. Passive indifference, by definition, is this. It's the state of not being determined to act or not act, to act in a way that would not get involved. Now, this is an attitude I believe plagues the world today, but I think it plagues the church even more. Because a passive spirit or a passive indifferent is the state where you're not determined in your heart. We as God's people need to settle in our heart. I'm not saying that we're supposed to get involved in everyone's business, because we're not the answer to everything. But we at least have to have some urgency. When we see something that's wrong or we know something that's wrong, what do we do? Well, the right thing to do is pray for that person in that situation. Not talk about it, not judge it, and act like it's not there. We as believers, listen to me. We as a church family, we have a responsibility to look after one another. You know what's one of the conversations that bother me within the church? When someone who's been doing great walking with the Lord, and then they leave for whatever reason, and we hear stories about what they're doing now, and the conversations that bother me are the ones within the church that say things like, well, you know what? I always seen there was something different about him. You know what? I seen the red flags. You know what? She always had an attitude problem, and I noticed she was a little off, right? The conversations that bother me are the ones that say, you knew what? I knew it wouldn't last. Can we talk about some real stuff? Right? These are the conversations that bother me, and I got a confession. Can I tell you something? Early in my walk, I had those conversations with people. There were even times I had issues with people in the church, and I was like, I told you he would fall. He was proud. Listen to me. These are spirits that I believe plague the church. Where we have an apathetic spirit towards what is right, and every now and then, instead of helping somebody or addressing something we know is wrong within somebody's life, because we're seeing the red flags, we say things like, I knew it, but instead of I knew it, we should say, can I pray for you? Hey, brother, can we go out for a cup of coffee? Can we have dinner with each other? Hey, can we have fellowship? Are you hearing me? You getting where I'm going this morning? We have a responsibility as a church to look after one another. We have a responsibility as a church to uphold what is right. And this is what makes church true community when it's founded on God's love. See, the world teaches us to turn the blind eye, but Scripture teaches us the exact opposite. Jesus said unto his disciples this, "Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets." In other words, we have a responsibility to look after one another. Because when you love your neighbor as you do yourself, you're not going to cause harm upon yourself. Naturally, there's some people that they do, they self-destruct, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about looking out for other people as if it was our life. When we're looking out, and when you have family, listen, when you have kids, you will watch after them, and you will watch, and you will help make sure that they don't make, but we have to have that type of love towards one another. If the church is truly going to make an impact in this world, it has to have true community, because what makes the church strong, a strong community, it's when its members are committed to upholding truth, they're committed to God's love, and committed to each other. Are you hearing me? In order for a church to build a strong community, they have to uphold truth. What does that mean? Well, that means we are committed to living out the Word of God, not correcting people, not pointing people's faults out, right? When a church is committed to upholding truth, they do their best to live it out first and in hopes of modeling what it looks like to walk as a disciple. Because how many know we can do more with our actions than we can with our words? My pastor would always tell me, "Eric, you got to preach all day long and use words when you have to, or if you have to." But a church that has a strong community, they're committed to upholding truth, which means we are committed to living out the Word of God. A church that has strong community, secondly, is committed to God's love, which tells us we love unconditionally and we learn, watch this, to forgive. Are you hearing me? We got to learn to forgive. True godly love is founded on forgiveness and is unconditional. And you always hear me talk about loving unconditional. And it's one of my passions, because there were times in my life that I would honestly say I might not have been worth loving. And I thank God that there were people that loved me past my mess. That instead of seeing my mess, they said, "Young man, your mess is going to turn into a message. Young man, your issues will become a foundation that you can stand on and testify about who God is." But I'm talking about loving people unconditionally. And loving people unconditionally sometimes means standing by them when they're making bad decisions. It means loving them and not judging them and giving them an opportunity or trusting that God can do something. Loving unconditionally sometimes causes you to wake up in the middle of the night and pray for somebody with your tears and with passion so that you believe God they can change. Are you hearing me? A church that has a strong community, they're not only committed to upholding truth, they're not only committed to God's love, but they're committed, listen to me, to each other. Listen, church, we got to be for each other. Are you hearing me? See, there are some people, me and my wife have had discussions, there have been seasons where people have been for what we're for. They're for what we see, but they're not for us. Right? The only problem with that mindset is if the only thing that joins us together is a vision and there's no genuine interest in each other, the problem is what happens when that vision becomes shaky? What happens when the vision doesn't come to pass as quick as you would like it to? Right? But when we're committed to each other, listen to me, that means that we're looking out for each other's great interest. Like I mentioned, being exposed to so much evil in this world can become desensitizing and can grow us passive towards sin. We can even lose compassion towards our neighbor. Have you ever been there? Where you've been through so much, you kind of just lose compassion for everyone else. Listen, I went through it. You're going to go through it too. This is just the way life is, and deal with it, right? Right? You got some like what I like to call negative Nancys in the church. And if your name is Nancy, it's not against you. It's a phrase, right? But man, people are just so negative nowadays, right? Well, that's just the way life is. Deal with it. Well, I went through that. You go. And the truth of the matter is, if we are going to proclaim God's truth, we got to get the negativity out of our lives. Right? We got to learn to think different. We got to learn to see the glass half full. I know it's not the hand that you wanted, but listen, learn to be a great player and play the hand that is dealt with you. Right? Because when you have a good hand, when something comes your way that's a blessing, you'll be able to work it because you learned to deal the hand that was given to you. See, we as God's people need to be people that are for each other. We can't lose compassion towards our neighbor. Because did you know if you know something, if you see something, God is calling you to one or two things. He's either calling you to pray for that situation or he's calling you to be a part of the solution. Amen. Not everything that you see is meant for you to deal with. We're not called to be the Holy Spirit. That is not my job. My job is to be an example and do my best to pray for those around me. Now, if we're genuine, if God opens a door for us to have a relationship, then we can speak into each other's lives. But as long as people in this world, they live at an arm's distance length and we're isolated from everything else and we only come together due to specific functions, we will never truly experience genuine community. Are you hearing me? See, it is a sin to lie, isn't it? Right? We know that. But did you know it can also be sin to know the truth and not say it? A passive spirit. See, the church today suffers a passive indifference when it comes to dealing with people and with stuff. What does it mean to be passive? Watch this. Accepting or submitting without resistance or objection. We got to be careful that we don't just submit or accept without resistance the teachings of this world. I got to bring this up, and again, I'm not here to bash any lifestyle, but I'm recently told in the news, and I'm recently told that my children are now going to be taught the history of LGBT or whatever, right? And that's a bill they're trying to pass. And they're trying to teach our children things like, what you feel you are, that's who you are. But I'm going to teach my children the truth, and I'm going to address things head on. And I'm not just going to submit to a faulty way of life. I'm not going to submit to some fantasies. I base my life and my family's truth on the Word of God. See, passive spirits, listen to me. They give birth to apathy. And what is apathy? Apathy is the absence or suppression of passion, emotion, lack of interest, concern, or indifference. If you ever get to a place where you're no longer passionate, you're no longer emotional, and you lack interest in what God is doing, and church becomes a place where it's like, man, chances are we've fallen victim to the apathetic spirit. We can't grow passive towards our neighbor. If we see our neighbor wandering, we bear the responsibility in the name of Christ to guide them in love. Amen. Right? We're called to pray for our neighbor. It's not always comfortable confronting certain areas in people's lives, but if you express a passion to want to pursue God's will for your life, chances are at some point God will call you to deal and help somebody with some sort of an issue. There's another word for that in the Bible. You know what it's called? Discipleship. Discipleship is simply someone that is committed to walking the ways of God, to living out the Word of God, and teaching somebody else those ways through modeling, a planned time, and studying the Word of God together. We're not here to be spiritual cops. We're not here to pick people apart. That's not what we're here for, right? What we're here for is to love people with the truth and by the truth and for the truth of God. We're not here to build a passive community. Listen, the culture of our church will be built off what we value and what we allow. If we allow gossip within the church and it's never dealt with, that will become the culture of the church, right? But if we say we value integrity and we learn to deal with leaders about integrity, then chances are that'll become our culture, right? But when we're talking about building God's kingdom, what we're really talking about is evangelizing the world and building people's lives up in Christ. I don't know about you, but my life needed guidance. It needed somebody that was committed to God, and we can never lose sight of the fact that people need guidance. You know, one of the things that I love doing is, you know, I've been coaching for the last few years, and some of you may know, may not know, but Coach Wayne has a football organization that's centered around Christ. And one of the joys that I find is investing in these young kids. Over the last 3, going on 4 years, I've developed some relationship with some kids. And you know what's beautiful about it? Is these kids may not come to my church, but when they see me, they know that they're loved. I learn when they're down to say nice things to them. Right? It's not about building your church. It's about building people that are out there. We got to get the concept of evangelism. Sometimes our concept of evangelism is skewed. We're like evangelizing just our families. No, to build the church, we got to go out there. We got to minister to people in our communities. We got to love on people and model what it means to live a victorious life. And when it comes to seeing things we know are wrong, we don't have to be spiritual cops, like I said, but we can show slight disapproval. Are you hearing me? I get around people, they start cussing. I don't say, don't cuss around me, right? But you know what I do? I go, I just, ooh, brother, right? Brother, they're like, oh, what? And they say it again, oh, well, come on, bro, you got to speak like that, right? And they sit there and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. But guess what? Because I didn't make them feel bad, I just showed slight disapproval. Guess what? They say something, man, I'm sorry, right? What am I trying to say? We need to show people the love of God. Romans 13:10 says this, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. In other words, because I'm committed to truth, because I'm committed to the laws of God, and I live them out, and I'm willing to address things within people's lives, I'm fulfilling the love of God through his laws. Romans 12:9 puts it just a little bit better, and this is what it says in the New Living Translation. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate. Somebody say hate. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. See, I can love you, but hate certain things that are wrong. Are you hearing me? Now, that sounds a little tough and a little awkward, but the truth is we're called to uphold truth. Right? It says, don't just pretend to love others. See, if I know your life is going straight to hell based off some things that are going to damage your life, and I don't say something, I'm pretending to love you. There are some people self-destruct. They're just, they're lying. They do whatever they want. But at some point, if I say I love you, I'm going to grab you and have a conversation with you and say, what in the world are you doing with your life? Are you hearing me? I'm not just talking about showing someone support. I'm talking about loving people through their mess. Are you hearing me? See, in the book of Deuteronomy, the law of lost property showed the concern for one's neighbor. God's people, they had made a covenant towards community and a covenant. And a covenant was agreement between God and his people. See, God's people made a community to cultivate true made a commitment to cultivate true community amongst each other. How did they do this? By looking out for one another. And if we're going to grow our church, if we want to build strong community, listen, it's going to take effort. Someone say effort. It's going to take us taking interest in one another. It's going to take us coming together. And we don't got to agree on everything, but we should agree with what the Bible says. If the Bible says it's sin and it's sin, let's not try to justify it, right? If the Bible says gossip is gossip, let's not talk to somebody about someone's issues and say, hey, let's pray for them, right? I'm talking about in order to build genuine community, it's going to take a few things, and I want to give you just 3 things quickly in a scripture, and then we'll close. Listen to what it's going to take. In order to build genuine godly community, it's going to take, 1, being like-minded. 2, it's going to take having the same love, which is the love of God. And number three, it's going to take in our humility, we're going to have to value each other above ourselves. Now, where'd you get that, Pastor Eric? Did you make that up? No, I didn't. I got it from the Bible. Philippians 2, 1 and 5 says this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, here it is, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ. See, in order to build a strong community that upholds truth, we got to get on the same page. Making a commitment to say, I will stand for what is right, and I will stand up against what is wrong. Now, how do we do this? Do we go up there and start putting everything on Facebook and being Pharisees, right? We got some Facebook people that are like Pharisees, right? They put everything on Facebook. No, we don't got to do that. What we have to do is live the Word of God. We got to invite people into our community and pray for them. Are you hearing me? Yes. Going back to our opening scripture as we close. If you see your neighbor's ox or sheep wandering away, don't pretend not to see it. Take it back to its owner. Right? In other words, when we see something, we should have urgency within our heart to make a difference. And that doesn't always mean you're going to be the answer, but you know what's one thing you can do? When you have no control over someone's situation, you know what's something you can do? You can pray and you can fast. And I have found that when I pray for something consistently, when I fast for something that really means something to me, I normally see the hand of God move. It's not always on my time. But I've learned to come against bondage. I've learned to trust in God through the good and in the bad. And even in the bad, listen to me, when I'm close to the Lord, he draws me close and I experience his peace. We can't turn the blind eye. If we're going to make a difference in this season of our life, listen to me, we can't hide ourselves from issues. We can't pretend not to see things. No, what the church needs to do, we need to rise. We need to rise. You can come on up, Brother Artie. We need to rise as watchmen. We need to rise as prayer warriors. We need to rise as people that care and show it with our actions. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, the main purpose of this message is to encourage you to do right when you're given the opportunity to do so. It's not always easy. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's very difficult. I've been put in situations where I didn't know what to do, I didn't want to be involved. But nonetheless, because I understood the Word of God, I realized, listen, I got to get involved. I got to somehow pray. I got to help. I got to extend a hand. I don't want to just say I love people. I want to truly love them with my actions. Church, I believe if we buy into this principle, not only will we see other people's lives elevated around us, but what you sow is what you're going to reap. Learn to sow good seed into people now, and one day you'll reap it. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed,